Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're working on a new series we've begun on the importance and the power of learning to praise God continually. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." We are to praise God continually. To praise God is more than music. It's more than what we do when we feel good. To praise God in its most basic form means to acknowledge him by talking about who he is and what he has done, is doing, and will do. You magnify God. You make him bigger in your eyes. Nothing can come against you that's bigger than God. Every circumstance you're looking at is temporary and subject to change by the power of God, either in this life or the life to come. And when you talk about that in the face of the problem, your trust and confidence in God increases, or your faith in God increases. Well, God works in our lives by his grace through our faith. You open the door to his help in your circumstance. Psalm 50 verse 23 says, "Whoso offers praise glorifies me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him my salvation." Praise stops the enemy and stills the avenger. That's Psalm 8 verse 2 and Matthew chapter 21 verse 16. Now, it's already Friday, so let me jump right into it. For most of this week, we've been looking at that incident in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where the nation of Judah and their king, Jehoshaphat, were attacked by a much greater military force. But they defeated their enemy through the power of praise. Now, we're going to look at that in more detail next week, but I want to shift gears just a bit and turn over to the Apostle Paul. I want to finish this week by talking about Paul. Paul was completely familiar with what happened here in 2 Chronicles 20. He was raised a Pharisee and well-schooled in all the Old Testament accounts of God's help to his people. And we can learn a lot about the value of praising God from Paul. He faced many adversities in his life as a Christian, but he experienced God's power to lift him up above it in the midst of the trouble, and even to deliver him out of it. See, the reason I want to interject this thought is because of the point I made right at the end yesterday. When I tell people you need to praise the Lord when they're in horrible circumstances, people actually get mad about that. You don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know how I feel. And as I pointed out yesterday, you're right. I don't know what you're dealing with, and I don't know how you feel. But I know what the Bible says about praising God continually, and I know from my own experience what it will do for you in the face of trouble. And Paul's a real good example of this. That's why I want to close the week by talking about him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm not going to read the whole passage because it's lengthy, but Paul was cataloging some of the many troubles he faced as he preached the gospel. Paul had really nothing but trouble from the time he bowed his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord until he got his head cut off for serving the Lord. He had nothing but trouble, and he's talking about his troubles, and he made this statement in verse 10. He said, he talked about being sorrowful yet rejoicing. In other words, he felt the emotion of sorrow, but he rejoiced. And then in Romans chapter 12, he talked about rejoicing in hope in the face of tribulation, persecution, and adversity. He talked about being sorrowful yet rejoicing, and he talked about rejoicing in hope. Now, the word translated rejoice in both verses means to be cheerful. It means to be cheerful. It doesn't mean feel cheerful, because Paul said he felt sorrow at the same time he rejoiced. To cheer means to give hope. When you cheer someone, you encourage them with the reasons they can have hope or expectation of coming good. See, think about it. When you cheer somebody at an athletic event, You don't say to them, oh, I hope you feel better, baby. No, you say, keep going. You've trained. You're ready for this moment. You can do it. You can win the race. When you cheer someone, you give them hope. You encourage them with the reasons they can have hope or expectation of coming good. And that's what you do when you praise the Lord. Now, the Bible gives several specific accounts of Paul in adverse conditions. Let me just briefly talk about one you're familiar with. It's Acts chapter 16, and this is how we'll finish out the week. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas went to the Greek city of, or the Macedonian city of Philippi, to preach the gospel. And while they were there, Paul cast the devil out of a servant girl. The Spirit had enabled her to tell fortunes. She could tell things about people and tell fortunes, and her masters made money off of her. They charged money for a reading. Well, Paul cast the Spirit out, and the men were angry because they lost this means of livelihood, and they reported Paul and Silas to city officials as troublemakers. They were arrested, beaten, and jailed, but were told that they praised God and were supernaturally delivered. Let me just read a couple of verses. This is verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. They prayed and praised God and were supernaturally delivered. Now, did Paul and Silas like what happened to them or feel good about being beaten and jailed for setting a captive free in Jesus' name? I mean, they're doing the work of the Lord. They set this little demon-possessed girl free, and as the reward for what they did, they were arrested, they were beaten, they were chained, and they were jailed in the deepest part of the prison. Were they happy about it? Did it feel good to them? Well, that's highly unlikely. Human beings aren't wired that way. But like we've said all week long, praise is not an emotional response to God. You don't praise God because you feel like it. Praise is the appropriate response no matter what we're facing. It's always appropriate to praise the Lord for who He is and what He has done, is doing, and will do. Now, we're told here they prayed and praised. We don't have the specific words that they prayed, but it's reasonable to assume that their prayer followed the pattern of Jehoshaphat's prayer, because it produced spectacular results here. They got delivered. Remember what we've said about Jehoshaphat's prayer. He started out the prayer not with the problem, but with the solution. He started out by magnifying God's bigness, talking about how big God is, talking about God's past help, and talking about God's promise of future provision and protection. These guys would have known that incident in 2 Chronicles, that praise defeated the enemy and delivered Judah. They would have also known Psalm 34, which says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. They would have known that. And they would have known Psalm 119, verse 62, which says, at midnight I will give thee thanks. They're in a mess. It's midnight. Well, they praised God. You have to presume they prayed like Jehoshaphat did. When you talk about how big God is and how faithful He is to keep His promise to help, it leads you to thanking Him for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. Paul and Silas praised God and opened the door to His salvation in their situation. Praise prepares the way for God to show you His salvation. But God was also glorified. Whoso offers praise glorifies me, and He prepares the way so that I may show him my salvation. If I were to keep reading here, we find out that the jailer got saved. Roman soldiers got killed if the prisoners escaped, and this guy was about to do that, kill himself, because the prisoners have been loosed. But Paul and Silas said, no, no, don't kill yourselves. And he said, the jailer recognized something awesome has happened here, and he asked these guys, what must I do to be saved? So they told him, gather your whole household together, and we'll tell you about Jesus and salvation in His name. And they all responded to the gospel. Tradition tells us that the jailer became the pastor of the church, that Paul established in this city of Philippi. God was glorified and they were delivered. Now, Paul was later imprisoned in Rome, facing possible execution. He wrote his epistle to the Philippians from that jail, and it gives us insight into his view of reality. Praise to God in the face of trouble was not a technique to fix things for Paul. It came out of his view of reality. He was a real person facing real trouble, but there is no hint of fear or dismay in his letter. Although Paul was not actually executed at this particular time, he didn't know that he wasn't going to get executed when he wrote this letter. And we find out, let me just read, I want Christ to be magnified in my body, whether it is by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I know not, for I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He's facing death, and his attitude is, to die is gain, and it's better where I'm going. He understood that the worst thing that could happen to him in this situation, namely, he could be executed, it's not bigger than God. Because he told the Philippians at the church that he founded, where he was delivered from jail in this mighty way we just read, he told them that to die is gain and to depart and be with Christ is better. Therefore, he had hope in the face of an impossible, potentially irreversible circumstance, and he had no reason to fear. Paul had an eternal perspective. He understood that he's an eternal being and that the greater and better part of his life is ahead after this life. And even a lifetime of suffering is nothing in comparison to eternity. Therefore, he was not weighed down by the troubles he faced. It doesn't mean he liked them. It doesn't mean he enjoyed them. It means that because of his perspective, he was neither afraid or hopeless. He was confident in the face of trouble, and he had hope in the face of trouble. 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us that Paul maintained his perspective while he looked not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. Paul looked past his circumstances and focused on Almighty God's power, promise, and provision. Well, praise to God, proclaiming who he is and what he does, helped Paul keep his focus on unseen realities and Almighty God. In Philippians 4:4, he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." He used the word joy and rejoice 11 times in this epistle. Got a lot more to talk about next week.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.